civil rights group called EFFI. We're two guys from Finland who founded this organization like 2 years ago. My name is Mikko and he's Ville. What we're trying to tell you is what we actually did there in Finland and how could we influence the Finnish lawmakers and Finnish policymakers, and in recent times also European-wide activity, what has happened in Brussels and what we're trying to do there to stop the innovation-threatening laws and similar kind of proposals. What you also have in, here in the US are now like spreading into Europe. A few words about our name. We're not related to EFF in any official sense. We just fair use their trademark. It's like Electronic Frontier Finland. And when we founded this organization, I just browsed the domain name database and found out that that's a pretty interesting domain name. It's almost EFF. We can be like confused with EFF. We are having like similar goals and similar values, but of course we are an independent organization in a very little country far away from here. So maybe we just ride with their good name. Here's some kind of background with official figures, what has happened so far. So we were founded in September 2001. It was something like 2 weeks before the attacks, or even less, it was 1 week and a bit more. That was just coincidence. Now we have over 300 members. We are like member-supported organization. All members like pay membership fees annually, and they do actively participate in what we do. And the number has been growing like steadily. I think we have like 350, maybe 400 members now. Most are from Finland, but we also have international members nowadays. I could guess something like less than 10% are international members from different countries, even from the United States. So the kind of brain work what happens in EFFI is done by a small board. We have like, let's say, 8 board members and then a couple other guys who are very like interesting and do volunteer work there. In the beginning, we were just like 2 or 3 guys, but now it's like 10 active guys who do something to push this message forward. And most of us are working at the universities in Finland and also in some companies there. This is, of course, volunteer work. No money is involved. Only the money we get in as donations we use to put some like public stuff up. Actually, latest project I'm trying to push forward is to establish 3 Wi-Fi hotspots in Finland with our money we have gathered from members and donations. But so far, what we have done is basically that we have commented law proposals, doing all kinds of paperwork, trying to put media releases out if there is some new law proposal out there and what we think about it. Maybe the 2 most important law proposals so far we have commented and really changed have been the copyright proposal, similar kind that you have the DMCA here, and another one was about like free speech issues. I think we have some slides on those.
Later on, yeah.
Okay, later. This is something about our European-wide network we have been trying to build during the couple of last years. So we have like cooperated with EFF on some issues and other organizations here in the US and also in Europe. In 2002 we founded one European-wide coalition network and that tries to influence stuff in the Brussels. We have some more about it later. This is European Digital Rights. And then you have Global Internet Liberty Campaign. It's like a everywhere. It doesn't have national borders, although it doesn't have a legal presence anywhere either. Our homepage is there. You can go there and buy our merchandise and all kinds of stuff. We actually have t-shirts here. We don't sell them there, but after this presentation we can perhaps show you something. Here are some statistics on membership development, which has been quite steady. I think the most important steps here have been somewhere in the middle. In the beginning, we got something like 50 members quite easily. Those were the most active guys who like were on the mailing list and discussed these topics. What happens when copyright broadens? What happens if you have a patent, software patenting in Europe and that kind of stuff? But when we got media releases through in major newspapers and also on television, then we started to gain more like members who are generally interested in these issues. Not just tech people, but also like journalists and teenagers who like think those guys are cool and doing something important but really don't understand the issues. Sorry about it. They don't hear this presentation, they are far away. Okay, I think...
At least hopefully.
Yeah. Somebody takes a video there, but I don't know where it goes to. And now we have, as I said, something like 350, maybe 400 members. Also, DF have something like 10,000. At least they claim. But you never know of those figures. Okay. But EFF has been in... has been around like more than 10 years, and we have been just 2 years putting our stuff up. Here are some like rationale. Why should you have a member organization? We have been like talking with lots of different groups who do the same kind of stuff as we do. In almost every European country, there is a similar kind of group compared to ours. I also guess that in the United States, in different states, you have different kind of little groups, grassroots organizations. You have this EFF, which is like nationwide. But many of these groups are not like a member supporting in a real sense. There are just like a couple of guys who put the organization up and try to do some media releases and that kind of stuff. And what we have like found is that this approach doesn't last very long. When the original founders and those who are like interested, they do something else, they grow up or something else, then it just like fades out. Maybe it's a similar thing, or you can compare it in some sense to open source development. You have to have a real community which can like make the thing live on. So what you have to do if you want to put up a new organization or you want to make an existing organization like thriving, I guess, you have to get out of the closet and really like get real. Say that there are some people you represent. There's like hundreds of people you are speaking of, not just yourself and your ideas. If you want to make like political influence, of course, different thing. If you want to hack a website or something like that, it's another approach, but we are not doing that officially. So the idea is really to get active members. How to get active members, it's magic how to get them. I don't know. We have like a 10 to 15 maybe active members totally. We have 400 members totally, but just 10 to 15 do something like which counts. You want to say something about this slide?
Yeah. Here's some dates, and as you can see, we managed to get a flying start, and well, of course, it's quite easy to get in Finland to media compared to the United States, especially national level, because in Finland we actually have only 4 national TV stations, and that's about it. And then we have some small cable TV stations, which are mostly in bankruptcy at the moment, so the TV scheme in Finland is quite small. And as a result, especially Mikko has been a lot of in different talk shows and different interviews, and every time practically something happens which relates to counter security or copyright or whatever privacy questions, reporters nowadays call us. This is of course very practical because we don't necessarily even have to send anymore any press releases or anything. They know instantly, but we have comments, and we are ready to present them in TV or whatever. And also, we was very lucky that we managed to get to the parliament from very early on, or we have been participating from inside the political system instead of just trying to influence from media. We have been participating in parliamentary hearings, and that's much more effective because the politicians actually even respond if you have something clever or graceful to say. And for example, I guess the biggest hit was when women took tea on during the time the copyright law was handled in the parliament. We both actually were invited to give our testimonies, and I think we made a difference there. And actually, yes, that copyright law was copyright law thing was actually part of the fight against the UCD. Is as some of you might know, it's practically similar law than the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, only that it's actually worse. It doesn't have really any kind of fair use exemption for example, for digital rights management if works are sold on the internet. And, well, this comes from European Union, but nevertheless, the national states don't have any other option than to create a national law out of it. And, well, in Finland we had an especially heinous one as a first version, but luckily, well, we are actually both studying copyright, so we were quite well informed what's going on, and started to blocking it from early on, and actually managed to get some success, because in the end, the Finnish parliament sent the law back because it was so bad. And I think that this shows that it's really possible, if you have good arguments, to tell politicians that there is such a thing as too strong intellectual property regime. Of course, there was some other reason why that law was sent back. For example, parliament had practically run out of time, and they didn't have a chance to start making replacement to the law and try to make it better. Yeah, this one part, Smith, you might to add some comments.
What is on the next slide?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, actually, we had this last posting we got through, like, when we, like, blocked the law proposal at the Finnish parliament, the copyright law proposal. Of course, there was, like Ville said, there were lots of things because it, for the reason it was blocked. But what happened in the end was that we, like, claimed victory. We also claimed victory in the Finnish media. And the thing is that the Finnish parliament, it was changed during the last spring. They got new elections there. And now that we have, like, claimed victory before, now they have, like, sent us letters, and they have, like, invited us to the sessions when they draft the new law from the beginning, so we can, like, influence it even more in the future. Okay, this is just Finland. It's a very tiny country, and we have the European-wide stuff happening in every European country, and our power to influence other countries in Europe is limited. What we can perhaps do is to influence the European Union in Brussels, and of course there, if we have even the mandate of the Finland, the country, it's just like 5 million people. It's peanuts. There are countries like United Kingdom and Germany which have like 50 to 100 million people living there, and a much stronger economy. Anyway, what's next?
Yeah. Unfortunately, because it's an EU directive, it means that sooner or later Finland has to transpose it to the national law, and the fight goes on. We just got a new version out, and as Mikko already told, we are this time invited to participate to the crafting, so we hope to make it better.
Hacking won't be a crime in Finland, according to our press releases, at least. So, here's another law proposal which we really like changed in the Finnish parliament. This was like a local law proposal, not that interesting in international sense. But anyway, there was the idea that to censor all material published on the internet, and it was based on a very old law in Finland where it was required that all press is like censored by the state. It related back to the times when Finland was under Russia, and there was a Russian Tsar governing in Finland, and they want to control everything that was published in Finland, in Finnish press, that nobody publishes any material like which is against the Tsar power.
well, that's perhaps a bit extreme.
Extreme, but that's where the origin of the law. Now the law has all, of course, changed during the times, and the latest version, what is now active or law enforced in Finland, says that every newspaper must have an editor in chief and must monitor what is published, even in the letters to the editor pages and so on. And if there's something infringing public, then the editor in chief in principle liable for that. And they want to extend this law to the internet, where basically any web page would have needed an editor in chief, which would have needed to be over 18 years old, a legal age in Finland, and would be liable for anything published under those web pages, even chat pages and all kind of interactive content. So there was some requirement. You had to argue all web publications for 3 months and have 18-year-old editor-in-chief. And you had to log all traffic which was happening in interactive sites, like chat sites and everything, by the law. If you didn't qualify these things, then in principle, police could have came and pulled the plug off your servers.
Yeah, especially because it was a criminal liability, not just civil.
Right. And there was no definition what is web publication. Any web page would have required these things.
Yeah, it was more or less something like if you update your web page I would say quite often, it would have been a publication in the sense of gold version.
So what we were able to do is to already also get heard in the parliament, with the copyright law proposal, we also joined ISPs. We called them and asked what they wanted to do. Of course, ISPs didn't want that people were had more burdens to publish web pages. ISPs wanted people publish more and more material online, and we had lots of lobbying happening there. There was the International Chamber of Commerce, which also joined our activities and published their press release and tried to influence members of parliament. And then we were heard in the Constitutional Law Committee, and there the chair of the committee was very polite to us, and she asked, what is exactly what you want there? How do we write this law? And they really changed the law as we wanted to be changed. And almost all of those crazy requirements were dropped off, and the definition of web publication was clarified that it only means traditional press. If you have a big newspaper, their web pages have those requirements they had before, as they were in printed press. Actually, we got some international press releases also out based on this little acumen there. What else do we have? Yeah, then we have given these Big Brother awards also in Finland. This was from the latest award ceremony. We got one member of the parliament, this fellow here, to give the awards. And of course, the recipient is the famous one. This is just a stormtrooper. Water wasn't there. I guess he's in the United States somewhere. The winner of the Big Brother Awards this year was a very big telecom company. It's nowadays called Telia Sonera. It's a Swedish-Finnish merger between two state-owned ISPs. It penetrates the market, which has 50% or something similar of all ISP mobile phone connections. What they have done so far before they got this prestigious award was that their top management had snooped mobile phone traffic. They listen to your phones. They also read your email. They did all this classic stuff. And it was the top management, CEOs and heads of corporate communications, all were jailed. That was pretty heavy stuff. Everything we could do is just to give them the Big Brother. What else? I don't know. The firm still runs quite heavily. They are listed on NASDAQ. So you have something about this.
Yeah. And as we have quite a few times already mentioned, Finland has to transpose all the directives from European Union, and as a result, even if we are successful in lobbying in Finland, it doesn't really help because we have to be able to lobby in Brussels. And that was the reason why we have been pushing for EFF Europe from early on. And it actually came through in 2002 as the most ambitious groups in Europe managed to finally found the European Digital Rights. And I'm actually at the moment a member of board of that organization, which unfortunately doesn't really work even at the moment very well. We have some working groups being founded right now, which are open for individuals, otherwise it's just for member or national organizations. And besides that, there's luckily something else going on also in Europe, or some of you might have heard about the Eurolinux Alliance, which is lobbying against software patents and is actually very successful in it. And we have been also participating to that effort in Finland. And at the moment it actually seems possible that in Europe, at least the European Parliament will vote against full software patenting. It will be possible to patent software as part of a device or, for example, part of mobile phone, but not anymore as it's not anymore possible to get pure software patents. Well, anyway, the deciding vote is on September, so there's going to be quite heavy lobbying going on the next 1.5 months, I guess. And we're actually trying to get Linus Torvalds to also participate in the lobbying, which is, of course, never his task because he hates lobbying and politics. But anyway, he's a person who might have also a lot of influence in Parliament.
So in the end, I wouldn't be that pessimistic that we couldn't like influence in Brussels too. It takes, of course, longer time to have some power in there. There's like over 500 members of the parliament in Brussels from different countries in Europe. There's like still 12 or something member countries at the moment, and now they like expand. From the beginning of 2004, I think there's like more than 15, maybe even 20 countries in European Union. I don't actually know about the figures there. And there will be like 600 members in the parliament, and they are like voting there. You should have like majority means like 300 members to vote for your ideals. It will be very difficult. Finland has like 5 members of parliament there or something like that. Yeah. That's quite a tiny portion if you need 300. Anyway, but if you have this kind of network and you have lots of groups in different countries in Europe, we like believe we could like change their opinion to at least in the future. And this patenting case is a good first example where we try to unite and really try to stop the stupid idea of software patents there. So here's some kind of higher superstition of what we are really trying to do. If I need to put it in one sentence, it's like, we are human change agent. I have read Peter Drucker's book, Managing Nonprofit Organization, and this is his message, and it's quite good, I think. The idea is to change the perception of individual people, policymakers, those who have power, of the things which are in the society right now. You should like understand that some laws may be bad laws and may be like threatening from our perspective. And the basic premise there is that politicians do not know. They rely on sources which are like that they are not like informed as we are. Okay, there's the presumption that we are right. Of course we can be wrong too, and hackers have been wrong in many issues which are not like tech related before. But that's the premise we must work on, and we try to change the message, of course, of their sources too. We try to influence the mass media they are like listening to. We try to change the perception of their like experts they like trust. And of course, we must understand that there's still a lack of ignorance among politicians, especially those who are elder and European in for reasons unknown. Especially, like, Southern Europe is very, like, it's like maybe 5 years after what Northern Europe is in technological progress. There is not many internet accesses in Southern European countries compared to the population, if you compare it to Northern Europe. That's like a problem in Europe. This was your slide.
Okay. I hope that at this point at least some of you are asking, so what I can do. And there's a lot of answers to that question, and of course the easiest one, and to give somebody money to somebody else to do the job. And it's actually not a good strategy. For example, the folks in EFF in the United States are doing extremely nice job. And for us, it's also very important that we get some funding to be able to do the day-to-day tasks. And of course, if a person wants to do more, there's another possibility, because which is to become an activist. And again, here's two possibilities: to just be an unorganized, or just act alone, or perhaps sometimes participate to some organized events with in a bigger, just well, in practice, just do your stuff by yourself. Or another option, which is organized activism, start your own association, or start doing these kind of things. And these are actually both very important. For example, unorganized activism in practice means that, for example, if a person, for example, if there is some kind of law introduced in parliament, but you just tell your friends what's going on, and perhaps say that please contact some person in parliament, and try to get other people active. This is very important. Well, we have been talking quite a lot about organized activism already, and it's also very important, because in practice only organized activists get access to parliament and get a chance to get to the hearings and so on. And of course, one of good reasons to start doing it is that it actually can be fun, or at least I think that both Mikko and me have had a lot of fun doing this stuff, and it's always nice to piece off organization like ARI, AA, or it's in our case the Finnish version of it. And of course, the one part of it, but if you're really lucky, you manage to, you might be even able to get to the DEF CON for free. Okay, and what's effective activism? For example, DDoSing area website is not. In practice, if you do something like that, it doesn't really hurt them. It just gives more reasons to claim to US Congress that, okay, these guys are criminals and these are doing a lot of nasty stuff and so on. Not a good idea. Instead, for example, study how, for example, how copy protection system works on CDs, and then create a scientific or pseudo-scientific article out of it. Of course, this can be a bit legally riskful. In Europe, it most likely isn't, but in the United States, it might be. And to get this kind of information out, it's always good to have, for example, anonymous P2P systems like Freenet. And helping people to code these kind of systems is definitely something that people should help. And another thing is that in practice, well, of course, politicians more or less get their signals from media, and they follow what's going on from media mostly. And that means that if you want to get a message through, you have to get to a media, and in practice it's too expensive to buy advertisements. Some bigger organizations have nowadays resources for it, for example for us it's totally out of question. Instead of, we have been learned how to use so-called free press. Actually the newspapers like to get the material, this is easy to publish, and if you know how to write a press release, which is very easy to convert to a news story. the laser recorders take this material and use it. And I guess so far all of our press releases have been published in at least one newspaper or web magazine.
We also learned by experience that you should have quotes in your press releases. Many newspapers do not publish press releases which are like written that you like you make a statement there. That's not a good idea. You should have a statement, but you should also have like quotes. Of, this person says this thing. Other person says this thing. That's a good press release.
Yeah,
it's much wider coverage.
And because as a result, a reporter can write the article that way that it seems that she or he had been interviewing that person.
Right.
So, well,
they publish lots of articles. Lots of articles in newspapers with like read like they are like interviews are actually from press releases where you have like written quotes. Some person in the media department has like figured out this is a good quote, let's write it there. And put some CEO's name in there. That's the reality.
Yeah.
From my experience at least.
Another one which I guess Mikko disagrees is arranging tickets. But anyway, it's a very effective way to get media attention because if you speak about some very boring topic like copyright, generally speaking, it's not a nice story for media, and especially for TV. It doesn't look good to have some guy next to the computer or something and talking about blah blah copyright blah blah. Instead of having a couple of guys outside some places having funny looking signs and doing stuff, it's a much bigger news story immediately, and that's actually one of the ways to get quite easily free media.
I think Greenpeace has an image problem. Also, they have a funding problem. We are a very small organization, and unless you have lots of resources, I think it's very risky to do pickets and do this kind of civil obedience and support it.
But nevertheless, Greenpeace really masters this picketing.
Greenpeace is a very big organization. They have a lot of resources.
But you can also learn how to mimic their strategies. But anyway, as you can see, we disagree. You don't need to about
we don't do
point.
This kind of stuff yet, as of yet.
Yeah. And anyway, of course, there's this so-called anti-globalization movement style, which is practically causing or arranging riots outside the meeting place where different international treaties are being negotiated.
Where do you get 10,000 hackers to
and
protest?
That's the point. For us, it's not possible for the. And second of all, it's actually not a good press, or at least from my point of view, anti-globalization movement has managed to create an image that these people don't know anything about the content. These are just out and free at and destroy places. And it's never good for getting your message through. And, well, this is a bit riskful one because, well, actually, this is what lawyers do. We are more or less trained to look for legal exploits or to find out where loopholes in laws are about the same as bugs in code, if you want to compare. And if you learn how to find loopholes, it definitely helps for you. Let's take a practical example. Okay, this is a typical part of law. It's out of EU copyright directive. And this section more or less makes it illegal to, for example, create a software like DCCS or whatever is used to break DVD encryption. But instead of releasing such a software which decrypts the DVD, it's possible to create a program which has a commercially significant purpose. For example, you create a small DVD player and release it as an open source, and this program has inside it the needed code for decrypting the DVD. And as a result, at least it should be legal in Europe. Of course, for example, here is this ANC has to be also fulfilled. But typically nobody wants to market a certification tool as such. That's yours.
So this is kind of like a, just to think about it. Should you find an association if you find some issue in political arena or in law, like disgusting? Maybe you should first check if there's like any active organization like EFF here or any other organization in your state or country or what regional level you're working on or living in, if you're not like happy what they are doing, try to influence them. I think, for example, EFF is very difficult to influence in at the moment. At least they have 10,000 members, but who is actually making decisions there? I think they have had the same board practically the last 10 years. If you want to be a board member there, don't even think about it. You need to find practically found your own association here. This is kind of criticism, but it's reality. So, if it's not like possible to hijack an existing organization, you have to found your own. How to make it thriving, that's the big problem. It's of course easier to do it with the existing organization, but if it's not possible, then you have to find your way to do it. And of course what matters is the results, not the means to the end. And the easiest way to the goal is of course the best one. So what do you have there? Here is some like a wrap-up of our experience, what you should do if you want to find a member organization. First of all, make it such that there's like individual members and people like feel they belong into the organization, and there's little like people you are moving from one place to other, or people who you are like on behalf of whom you are like speaking. Try to ally with other groups and try to make like together any press releases or any activism. It's a good idea. Publish often like press releases and try to get respectable name in your region and try to get to the media. It's very good to know many journalists and have friends and allies there. I think it's also very important to speak like roughly and straight in like a not in slang language but in straight language and make short comments and such comments that journalists can like further develop and find more arguments in support and again. And of course you must make direct communication between policymakers. This is very time-consuming and takes lots of resources to call all the politicians who are making an important decision somewhere. And those politicians get lots of calls anyway. So how can you get your message through? It's really like a tough job, especially if nobody pays for it. Okay, this is our last slide after questions. I guess the idea is there that we have given these teasers to other people too. We have them here. I guess the idea here was that people throw these teasers to, or any kind of free material to, audience members. What is the idea here?
Yeah,
I think I can throw you one teaser. But first, like, we can go skin. This Excel size. This is our most like a popular model. This is a commercial presentation, and if you want to cut this, just say. Our organization is here, it's also in Finnish. And the factory has this case for being inspired like a statement. Choose a cookie, choose an advert, choose media conferences, choose corporate life, choose a fucking banner advert. You can compare a common recent DVD you can play on your ear of your choice. Choose fast. Choose unstable operating system, unfair end user license agreements, and annual licensing fees. Choose a digital television, even personal advertisements. Choose government surveillance. Choose law sports you by American Entertainment Industry Giant. Choose an ISP, wondering who else reads your email. Two sitting on the car, watching mind numbing spirit cars and real TV shows, stocking junk food into your mouth. Two spending the rest of your years as nothing more than a mindless consumer statistic, The selfish, greedy asshole is your helpless current culture with your money-making media playground. Choose your future. That's our statement. And lucky owner is there. We have also like a couple more t-shirts here. These are for sale. $20 a piece. If you have any questions, just direct them. Yes, sir. It's been implemented, I think, like in four countries at the moment. Like, first it was implemented in Denmark, Greece, and then what country is now implemented in?
I think it's Germany and.
In Germany, it's implemented too, and then some other country too. But it's going on at the moment, and I think within a year it's almost in every country in Europe. But it's still going on. The deadline was in like last December, but by the deadline only like Greece and Denmark were able to do it. Anything else? Yes, sir. I don't support picketing, but maybe Ville does.
It depends. If you can, well, picketing itself doesn't really matter, but if you manage to get your picket into the television when it's good. Generally speaking, well, of course, at least in Europe, the politicians are very used to pickets, and you have to arrange something very big in order to get any real media attention. But on the other hand, on this question, it's just so rare event that let's say hackers go out and picket, that I guess at least some media would make just a story out of it, that it's possible to see hackers outside or something like that. So
yes, sir.
We were actually last year on. We have a parliamentary elections in Finland, and we were trying to create a so-called election search machine. So we were asking questions out of politicians about all of topics which were important for us, and created a database out of that information so that the members could search what different candidates think.
But we don't directly like support any candidates. We just try to make the decision easier for informed hackers. And we'll like try to act as a kind of a mediator between individuals and the policymakers. So if anyone has a question in Finland to some parliament members, we can try to ask the question directly.
Yeah, and anyway, it's, for an organization, it's very risky to be connected to directly. Certain politicians, because for example, if you are in good relationships to the leftist parties or to the Green Party, the conservative side of the political spectrum start to hate you, and of course it's not a good idea if conservatives are in power.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's the same thing in Europe, and at least in Brussels, if you want to name one party which is like more supportive to our ideals, is the Green Party, which is like basically leftist party in Europe, and then you have a radical party. That's like a
it's more or less like center. It doesn't.
It's not a real party there.
It's impossible to put it on a left or right line in traditional sense. But on the other hand, we have also some conservatives which are in favor of us. So I guess it's saying this is not a traditional right-left-wing question at all, or these questions are.
A kind of problem in Europe is that there's not like strong liberal parties there, which could be like supportive. Yes, sir. Sorry? Yep. Basically,
or libertarian, I guess.
Libertarian or whatever, but those parties are not that strong in Europe. Like, for example, in Finland, there is such a party, and I think in every European country, there practically, in principle, is such a party, but in practice, they don't have any members in parliament or anything. It's the Soviet Russia thing, you know. We had this big power there a couple of years back. Anything else? Well, are we done? Thank you.